Okay. So with this video, I want to talk about my situation because I've had a few people ask me, how am I able to do this, blah blah blah, like travel the world and this type of shit. So I want to disclose, at least some of the parts. At first, I want to start out by saying, like, I am a lucky individual for multiple reasons, but the main focus on my luck for this is going to be how I'm able to travel and blah blah blah, just do what I want, wake up at 10, 11 o'clock every morning and just start talking shit and golf and do whatever I feel like for the rest of the day. So I told you guys, I've said that I was in the military. I went to the Marines and I got medically discharged, right? Because I had scoliosis. And come to find out, they actually, when I first went to the military, they knew I had scoliosis because I ended up getting all the paperwork back, and they seen it like in MEPS. So if you're not familiar with the U.S. military, going to the military, you have to go to this thing called MEPS, where they you it's pretty much just this all day evaluation, make sure you can hear, see, they did a swift body examination, make sure you can walk on your heels, all that dumb, the duck walk shit, all that shit. It's just this all day long testing to make sure like you can handle the strenuous shit you're gonna have to do when you go to the military. And I went to the Marines, which was like the worst, the most physical strenuous at all of them as far as the entry goes. Now, Special Forces, it pretty much flips. Like the Air Force, I think, is like the craziest of all of them. Or the Rangers. I can't remember. It's either the Air Force or the Rangers. Their special forces are like the craziest after that. But initially, the Marines is the most difficult physical one, and that's the one I went to. So I go in there, I got the paperwork back later. They seen that I had scoliosis, and it was in my file, and they let me go anyway. So I go to military, blah blah blah, and I asked to go to medical to get some pain pills, and my back was fucking killing me. And they x-rayed me and they asked me like how bad do you want to be a Marine? And I say, well, as long as I'm not going to be on a cane, be in a wheelchair by 30, I want to do it. And the doctor just kind of laughed and smiled and looked down and said, yeah, you're going to end up in a wheelchair by the time you're 30. I went in late, man. I was like 24, 25. I was 20, 25. I think I was like 24 when I went in. So I was old going in. In that culture, like being 24, going to the military, you're like grandpa. Because most people who go into the military are like 18. So like when you're 24, you are like old. So anyway, so the doctor comes back and says, yeah, like like at this rate, you're going to be in a wheelchair because like you have four, I think I have, it's 40 degree curvature in my back that goes like that. It's like it's 40 here and like 40 there. So like that's why like when I stand or I walk, you can't see it. Like you would never know unless I had told you that my back is fucked up. It's good for that respect. Like if I just walked down the street, you would never guess I was that my back's fucked up. You would, or if you see me walk or do anything or anything like that, you would never guess. But yeah, my back is like it's shot to hell. So because I think because to get into the military, they accept scoliosis, but I think if they because they told me all the rules. They said like I think to get into the military, it had to be 28 degree curves was the maximum, and mine was almost double that, and they let me in anyway. And on top of that, to the worst branch of physical stress, like of the basic training, like so yeah, they kicked me out, man. So I got service connected disability. I'm service connected through the military. So if you're not familiar with the military, service connected means okay, like I'm a veteran who can get pretty much I'm a veteran who gets all the benefits while not actually having to be in the military. So I get paid every month through free health insurance, free dental, all that shit. I get all that, and on top of that, since I'm a service connected veteran, service connected just means like I was respective, I was respectably kicked out, and on top of that, I was paid because I get paid every month for the rest of my life, essentially because the government fucked up and let me in. Okay, or they fucked up and it hurt you while you're in, so they got to pay you every month for the rest of your life. So every month, I'm on the first of the month, I look at my bank account, there's a check, there's money coming in. That on top of once you become in this situation, you could either do the GI Bill, and there's another educational thing you could do, which is Chapter 31. Now the GI Bill is if you can become a service connected veteran, like I worked at the VA, so I worked with people in this field. So like I at least 4 years ago, I knew this shit inside and out. When you do the Chapter 31, you have a limit on the total money you can get. Okay. And that limit is equivalent to the highest public the highest public college that, you know, accredited and all that shit. That's a legit college. The highest costing college in your state. So my state was Ohio. So I think Ohio State was the most expensive one. So my limit would have been, my limit is like $64,000 on that. And but see, the thing is with the Chapter 33 is once you use that $64,000, that's it. It's just gone forever. You can never get that back. Now, the reason I did Chapter 31 was, see, Chapter 31, there is no limit. It's an employment thing. So like, so nowadays it's just common knowledge. If you want to get employed, you go to college, you got to go to college, get a better job in a lot of cases. So, or that's how they're going to see it. You know, they're always going to send you to school. So, but there's no limit. The limit is you getting employed. And once you don't get employed, you go back to Chapter 31, keep going to school. Cause like I met tons of guys who got like 4 and 5 master's degrees off of that shit. Because they just didn't want to work, or you know, whatever. They just kept going back, going to Chapter 31. So Chapter 31 will give you, Chapter 31 and GI Bill will give you, you know, a stipend every month to live off of. So I get the military payments from being hurt, and you know, along with free insurance and blah blah blah. And on top of that, I get the Chapter 31 benefits, which is like an educational benefit. And then they pay for, you know, books and all this shit and, you know, anything for school, and you get a living stipend and everything. So I'm a lucky situation. Long story short, I'm a lucky situation. And I figured out how to work the system right to, you know, to be able to do what I want to do. So with that being said, I want to get on the topic of multi-level marketing shit, man, because this is something that I think that many people really need to know what it is. Because I start with my past, man. Like I was introduced to that shit at younger ages. And see, I'll be 34 in 2 months. So when I was younger, so we didn't have YouTube and, you know, Google, we didn't have that outlet to learn things quicker, you know? And so when it hit where I was at, like it was just something new to us. We're like, yo, what is this? What's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You know, and they're saying we can make money if we sell something and we get people to work under us and we get money off them. And, you know, it's just what it was. It's not like anything evil or anything like that. It's just it's what happens when people just are not educated in the field, man. But I tell you this much, man, like multi-level marketing is just it's bullshit. It's bullshit. And the thing is, like, it really attracts like a certain person. Can completely fall for it time and time again. Like in my opinion, it's almost the same as gambling and how people, you know, end up selling their homes and shit off gambling. Because like with the multi-level marketing shit, man, like that shit, I say it's probably worse than gambling because they can target many more people because it's the common core of what people are essentially after. People are after, you know, a family that loves and cares for them and it's always there. And they owe, and then on top of that, they can get, you know, resources they want to do what they want. And it's just like this dream come true. And they target these people. And they a lot more people can be targeted under multi-level marketing schemes. And also it could be like, you know, it could be shown as a different, you know, it can be manipulated to not come off as that. And I tell you what, I honestly almost fell for one multi-level marketing scheme when I started college. I told you guys, when I started college, I was broke. I didn't have any money, man. Like, I remember looking at my bank account. I had like $3 for a month to live off of. I had to like figure out, you know, what to do. But I remember that shit when I started college. I didn't come from a poor family, but my thing was this. I wanted to go off and do it on my own. And I did. And I very rarely asked for help. And if I did, I'm sure I paid it back like within, you know, a fast time frame. I very rarely asked for help throughout those years because my goal was not to live off my father or live off my family. Like, so I moved 50 miles away. I'm from Cincinnati and I moved to Dayton, Ohio, which is about a 50 mile drive, about 45 minutes. It was about 45 minute drive away where I lived. So I don't know how many miles. I don't know. I just woke up, man. I'm trying to do math right now. But it was about a 50 minute drive from where I was from to where I went to school. And I was dead broke, man. And I remember, and I was in college studying biotechnology at the time. And yeah, I almost fell for one multi-level marketing scheme. It was Cutco. That was the most, yeah, they say you, it was the knives that could cut through pennies and shit. I almost fell for that. Cause again, I was young. I didn't know what to do. I was broke. And then they had these flyers up that said, yeah, we'll pay you $15 an hour. You know, just call this number and find out what the fuck it was. You know, it's bullshit. And I can look at it now and say it's bullshit. But at the time, I was broke as fuck. So I went to it. I called and went to it. And pretty much, long story short is, you're going to get the job as long as you're just like, as long as you're not some, you know, like super dirty looking dude and you can be well-shaven and dressed, you know, kind of clean. They'll give you the job because the job is to get money out of you. And then for you to go out and get more people to sign up for the program, that's really the job. You're not really selling anything. See, because the difference between pyramid schemes, multi-level marketing, the primary difference between that and like a regular job, because people say regular jobs are pyramid schemes. And yeah, I say how it's built essentially. Yeah. Because there's going to be a guy at the top who's going to make all the money and it's going to trickle down. But the core difference between a multi-level marketing scheme and a regular job is this. The regular job is selling a product to people who actually want the product. You see what I'm saying? Pyramid schemes, their form of income is signing up people in hopes that they can sell product. But the actual income is coming from the people who are looking for a job. That the actual income is coming from them, not the population trying to buy the actual product. That's the difference in between pyramid schemes and regular jobs. And everything else after that is pretty much it's pretty much equal one-to-one ratio. But that's the core difference. And the people who get brainwashed in pyramid schemes. Because I almost fell for it. I tell you, the only reason why I didn't fall for it is because I had an uncle at the time. And I told him about it. As soon as he heard about it, he said, Wendell, that's a scam. Don't do it. And I didn't listen. I went to the interview and then I called him back and he said, yeah, Wendell, it's a scam. Don't do it. And so it was just a blind leap of faith to follow him versus follow the pyramid. I'm not going to say like I figured it out on my own or I was super strong or anything like that. It was really just a blind leap of faith to follow him instead of follow the pyramid scheme. And it worked out, obviously. Because like I said, those pyramid schemes are just, man, that shit is just horrible. Like I said, I felt like I was introduced to it at a younger age. I had seen it before. So maybe that had a little influence on why I knew not to do it too. Because I had seen people like my friends and some family fall for it. I seen them fall for it and I watched what it did to their brain and like and just the completely ridiculous things that happened. And I tell you what, the last time I had somebody I knew had snuck it on me to go to a multi-level marketing scheme. They didn't tell me what it was. They said, well, I want you to come here with me, blah, blah, sometime. So I went and it was a multi-level marketing scheme. And it was so funny because like now I'm older, I got more experience, like I know what I'm looking at. Like, okay, pretty much as soon as you walk in there, like some shit's just not gonna balance out right. Like when you go to these places, like shit's just not balancing out right. And this is how I can tell you universally, this is how you can tell when there's true money in the room and when there's fake money in the room. Okay. The quickest way you'll be able to tell is the quality of woman that's in there. Okay. This is a fucked up part to say, but it's the reality because women know quality. Okay. A certain quality of woman knows how to sniff out bullshit when it comes to money. Okay. So the quickest way to tell if the room you're getting ready to walk into is full of bullshit, and it's like some job that's trying to sell money or you sell you a dream of making money or something like that. The quickest way you can tell if it's bullshit, look at the quality of woman that's walking around there. Okay. If you don't see a lot of young, beautiful girls that act like they, you know, that legitimately have some class about them and shit like that, and they're well put together, if you're not seeing multiple of them, it's bullshit. If you're seeing older, like pretty much where are we going to go that's promising you some dream of success and all this shit like that? If it's a lot of old, fucked up women in there, then it's bullshit. Okay, because women are hypergamous. They know, like I'm telling you, women know how to sniff out bullshit when it comes, okay, a certain quality of woman, educated, well put together, well looking, well dressed, well spoken woman can sniff that shit out from a mile away because it's in their nature to do it like that. So this, like, and when the friend of mine took me there, first off, that was a big red. That was the first red flag. It was a bunch of older bitches over 30 and a bunch of men who were clearly, you know, uneducated, you know, blah blah blah. That was the first clear red flag. The second red flag, well, that for me at this point in my life, I've learned enough to say, yeah, that's enough for me. I'm out of here. If there's not beautiful bitches, and then look at all the cars that are in the parking lot. If all the cars in the parking lot are like, you know, older beat up cars, shit like that, you know, okay, this job is selling this job to poor, desperate people looking for their messiah to save them. That's what it is. Okay. And then like but if that's not enough, the next part is pay attention to what they're actually saying and do logic. Like, cause I remember I sat through some presentation and the only reason I was sitting there is cause I'm just trying not to be mean to the person I knew that I was there with. But like, I mean, it was just so like, it was almost laughable how bad it was. Cause like the logic really wasn't making sense like in the presentation, but then like, it was like, as soon as the logic didn't make sense, they would try to like hurry up and divert you to the guy who claims like, yeah, I fly to Cancun every summer. And this is me on a yacht, blah, blah, blah. Like, and they just sell this dream to desperate people. That's really the core process of it. They're selling dreams to the desperate. They're selling hope to the hopeless. That's what I've always said. And I didn't make that up. I made that saying up. They're selling hope to the hopeless. That's what it is. Now, there's nothing wrong with being hopeless. Now, I do want to touch on this. There's nothing wrong with being hopeless, okay? It's because no one is immune to this. No human on the planet is immune to feeling hopeless. If they got all the money in the world, then they're dying of cancer. If they're in perfect health and they don't have any money, or if they're in perfect health and they're not dying, then they're hopeless. Or they're a hopeless romantic. There's no human on the planet is immune to hope. Is immune to being hopeless. Okay. The best way that I found how to deal with it is especially if it's foreseeable hopelessness. First thing that I do, it works for me, is I cut out anything extra, especially in diet. Like just cut out any processed food, any of that shit. Cut out anything extra that you absolutely do not need in your life. I pretty much go into like meditate. I pretty much go into meditation mode. Like anything extra, only eat fruits, vegetables, you know, raw shit, you know, and cut out any extra shit in your life. If you're going through hopelessness, and just sit with you, you really have to just sit with yourself. If you even just got to go to the woods and just stand up in the woods alone for, you know, for 3 hours and fucking do it, man. Like, cause when you get hopeless, the first thing, like your first reaction is, oh my God, I gotta do something. See, and then you get in that desperate mode. And when you get in desperate mode, you're going to do shit that you would have never usually done. Okay. And it's usually going to be something stupid. And then even if it, okay, then let's say if it does work out, right? Let's say you get desperate mode and you hit jackpot. Well, that also kind of fucks you up too, because in the end, you're going to start developing this, like this God complex that you can't make a mistake, because now you'll just fix it the next time you get hopeless. So it distorts your reality in best case scenario. If it works out and you being hopeless. So like the best way that I found is this, man. Look, when that hopeless shit comes along, whether it's money or your girlfriend's leaving you, wife leaving you, blah, blah, blah. Like, don't start that run around trying to fix it in 5 minutes type of shit. Like, look, just sit down. Like, the best way I found is sit down and accept it. You see? And just sit in peace and quiet. Don't listen to anybody talk. Don't turn on the television. Don't do, like, look. Because that depression of hopelessness, it's got to run its course some kind of way. Okay, it's going to run its course. So the best way I found to do it is just sit down and just don't drink alcohol. Don't do nothing. Just sit down and let it run its course. And I promise you, it'll seem like in record time, you're going to get up and then you're going to feel invincible again. And it's going to be no big deal. But like, because see, what I found for myself when I would get to hopeless mode is like, oh God, I got to do something. Well, all that did was just kind of keep postponing me actually just going through the motions, and then, or the notions, whatever you say, and then getting back to being normal again. it would just postpone it by weeks, months, years. You see, like what I found, like you just sit the fuck down, shut the fuck up, and you know, accept it and accept all the deepest, darkest, hurtful parts of it, and accept the parts that maybe work out as a benefit in the long run. And then you, and that's how you truly begin to grow. Because there's, if you dive into like any types of philosophy and shit like that, you'll find where guys, they did that shit. And they went and they sat under a tree for 6 months till they found, you know, until they figured it out. But I'm saying it's going to be much quicker if you just sit down alone. Like for me, that's what worked. But yeah, multi-level marketing schemes, man, like that shit, they're cults. That's what, it's a cult. That's what it is. If you're ever following something or someone and you cannot think of one bad thing to say about them, then it's a cult. That's not good. Either that's a cult leader or you're trying to turn them into a god, okay? And if you cannot think of one bad thing to say about somebody, then something's fucked up, because it's not human. It's not normal at this point. You see, you have to always be, and I learned this from going to school, you always have to be able to have a counter argument for every argument that you have. You always have to be able to see it from two different perspectives. Like maybe this is fucked up or maybe this is great. Like you have to always look at it from different angles. Because if you only start looking at things from one angle, it very rarely ends in a healthy mental growth as an individual. But yeah, that's the video for today, man. Because I stumbled on this multi-level marketing video, and yeah, I just felt bad for that shit. Because the reality of multi-level marketing shit is, because like I said, I know a few people right now who's being either scammed, or two, they've historically always fallen for multi-level marketing schemes. And when you try to tell them, it's, oh, no, it's not, no, 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 it's not like that, no. No, it is like that, okay? Like, because I can literally Google this shit right now and find exactly what they're doing to you from other people who spoke out about it, and you're doing all the same shit that they're saying that you were going to do. I'm cross-referencing it, you see? But yeah, it's a multi-level market. It's a cult, man. That's what it is. And it preys on people who just want to belong. That's what it is. See, I think for me, once I learned personally that I will never belong, how my perverted thought has it out that I'll fit along with everybody. Once I truly accepted that, I became free. Because I think a lot of people, they have this idea of what they want to belong. And then once other people know that you have it, well, now they know that you're going to fall for it. You see, it's kind of like how shitty women get with guys. Like, they know that some guys just want a relationship. They just want a relationship. Some guys, like, they don't care. They just want a relationship. Women know that, and then they'll just use that to their advantage. They just rape them every fucking time they get, every chance they get. So, yeah, I'm getting hungry now. I'm ready to go. So, but yeah, I just want to talk about that shit, man, because I came across it on Facebook when I woke up, and I was just kind of fucked up about it, like seeing people fall for that shit. Because the reality of it is you can't attack them about it. Like when people are getting scammed, see, the reality, this is going to be a long video, but I'm getting hungry, so I'm trying to make it short. But the reality of it is, see, when people are getting scammed, you can't attack them about it. Okay, and don't try to convince them about it, okay? Because what that then triggers is, it triggers them, okay, nobody wants to admit that they fell for a scam or a trick. You see, nobody wants to think of themselves as lesser initially, okay? Now, I'm the type of person who I'll experiment with that in my head to see where it may take me. So I think that's another reason why I grew a little faster. But most people, their first direct response to it is, well, I don't want to look like an idiot, so I'll just keep fighting for it, you know? So then that drives them deeper into it. And then they get, you know, more accustomed to the culture, and then they think that these people are their friends. And so they just keep, because a friend of mine right now, he's getting scammed right now, hardcore. like hardcore, but it's being redirected as a gift to him, because he is actually getting money off of the deal, but it's not what he should be getting, and he knows it. But it's being redirected as a gift for the money that's missing, but it's not even all the money he should be getting in the return and the gift. But see, he's being scammed, and I told him, like, look, he's fucking scamming you. He's like, no, it's not like that. No, he's perfect. It's not like that. You see, and he has nothing bad to say about the guy who's doing it to him, even though he clearly can, it's spelled out in front of him. You see, you can't attack these people. When they're falling for scams, You can't attack them. Okay, because once you attack them, it's gonna that whole next level of pride kicks in, and they don't want to accept that they've been fooled and they've been scammed. So then now they're gonna dive deeper into it and fall deeper into it and be attracted more and more to it now, because now they need, because now they're gonna dig for a reason to validate it, because it's easier. It would be easier to dig for a reason and validate it, and then them just be right, than to just take the loss and accept that they got fucked over and be embarrassed, you know, to the world. Now, I'm not the type of dude that gets embarrassed very easily. So like, this is why, like, I don't fall into that very often. I don't fall into that because I'm not a person who gets embarrassed. Like, I will do any type of dance in a club. For instance, I was just watching Martin. I don't know if you ever watched the show Martin, but Bob from Marketing, there's this dude, when Martin would be Bob from Marketing, he did this dance like, and I would do that, and I dance like, when I get drunk, I do that shit in front of everybody. Bob from Marketing, if you know what I mean. Like, I did that. I'm not a person who gets embarrassed. So, like, the multi-level marketing shit, as soon as I realize I'm getting scammed, I'm the type of dude, I'll go out and tell people I got scammed. Like, because I'm not the embarrassed type of person. Whereas, like, for those who are, like the buddy of mine, he is the type who will get embarrassed and he feels bad about it. So he'll take that shame and try to redirect it and digging for reasons to try to validate why he's being scammed and validate, yes, it still works out for me, even though, like, the dude can barely afford to pay his rent and all this type of shit. I mean, I'm laughing, but I shouldn't laugh because the core of the video is, like, the only way you can help someone who's being scammed is to not embarrass them. The truth is, the reason why scams keep going for extended periods of time is because the people who are being scammed are too afraid of being embarrassed. Every scam, cult, multi-level marketing group, that's usually the core of what keeps it going. The people who've been duped are too afraid of becoming embarrassed. So that's what's going to keep the actual, like the buddy of mine, that's what's going to keep him underneath that guy, is because he's too afraid of becoming embarrassed. That actually, now that I should start up a video with that. That is the core source of income for multi-level for scams, multi-level marketing, cults, religions. The core source of income is the person who's been duped is too afraid of being embarrassed. So they'd rather fuel them. That's the core level. That's the core income. I'm hungry. I'm out. Yeah.